Please turn your Bible to John chapter 5, verse 16. John chapter 5, verse 16. To claim who I am and what I do, I have to show evidences of my identity with my photo on it to whoever require that. I have my passport that was issued by the State Department of the United States of America. And just like any of you, they drive a license from the Arizona Motor Vehicle, Department of Motor Vehicle, and the ID card from Pima County Sheriff Department as a chaplain. This ID helped me to declare my identity and tell them what I can do, what my duties are. Because they are backed by our local and federal government, which has higher authority than I can ever have. By the way, did you notice in your driver license, the photo always comes out hideous, right? And I know some of you are thinking, well, in your case, preacher, it came out as is. You know, if you think that's really cold, that's not nice. I have a feeling too, you know. The Jewish leaders did not like what was happening at the Pool of Bethesda, which we studied last week. This rabbi, some rabbi out of blue, he showed up. He showed up once, some time ago in Jerusalem, and he turned the table upside down in the temple. And he caused all this havoc. Now he showed up in the Pool of Bethesda and he healed this man who's been bedridden pretty much for 38 long years. And healed the man and he commanded the man to get up, pick up your bed and go home. On any other day would be fine, but he had to do that on Sabbath. They were thinking, what an audacity this man has. What a rebellious attitude this man has. Does he not know that we have this all the rules and regulations regarding Sabbath? He went completely against it. He was challenging our authority. This cannot go on. This man must be stopped. That was what they were thinking. But they had no idea who this man was. And they had no idea where this man was taking them to. The reason why they had no idea, because they didn't realize this is the one whom they were waiting all this time. They were about to find out, as we will this morning. Let's stop here and pray. Holy Father, we know who you are because you graciously reveal yourself through your Son. Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is rich in mercy and long-suffering, but full of love and grace. Everlasting to everlasting, as we sang, He's not just another so-called Messiah people make up, but He is God-sent. As a matter of fact, He is one true God. So we want to know You, Lord. We want to know what Jesus claimed in front of the Pharisees and Sadducees and all these members of Sanhedrin in Israel. But most of all, we want to know Him through Your Word and deep within our heart. Father, we lift up President Obama that he may truly receive Jesus Christ into his heart as his Savior and Lord. And pray for our troops. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, it's a cold winter time, Father. We are asking you to keep them warm, keep them safe. You're willing, you bring them back to their home, to their families, to their friends, as the victors, safely. Father, we also lift up in our uniformed personnel, police officers, sheriff deputies, federal agents, and firefighters. Put the hedge of protection around them. pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 5 and verse 16, please. Please follow along with me, please. For this reason, the Jews persecute. Note that, as I said before, whenever in the book of John, Jews generally is talking about Jewish religious leaders, persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. That's it. It's not a revolution, or it's not like he's walking into the marketplace and starting to killing people with his Glock 19 with a 30-round magazine like it happened. Or it was not like a great Ponzi scheme. It was just went against their doctrine. And they are willing to kill the man for that. We are absolutely astounded by the pure evil yet silly motive of this religious leader. But we must think about the true reason behind their extreme anger. Why were they willing to kill a man for that? Because in their mindset, with their man-made religious rules and regulations by using God's name in one of his commandments from the Ten Commandments, the Pharisees and Sadducees, other religious rulers of the ancient Israel, could not only control every aspect of people's lives, but also it gives them a superior, unchallengeable authority. And that gives them selfish satisfaction and pride. Have you ever seen a people who has a little authority? I mean, they don't even have a big authority. They have a very little authority, and you're thinking, oh yeah, you're talking about my boss. They have a little authority, but they want to wield their thing as if some sort of the God-given authority. You know what I'm talking about. It's nothing more than insecurity, nothing more than self-satisfaction. This was not done for the glory of God, but it's done for themselves. Out of blue, this someone dared to challenge them. It is no wonder they were thinking about killing him. Now, we are going to see the six claims of Jesus Christ, his identity to the Jews. Starting with the first one, verse 17. This first one is the equality with the Father. That is the first claim. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now. I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, and making himself equal with God." Stop there. And you might want to note that it's no longer charge against the Sabbath, which is a stoning to death. Now it's blasphemy. He's calling himself as God. You with me? Okay, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and showed him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than this, that you may marvel." I'm so glad the Father in heaven and Jesus don't take a day off or take a vacation like we want to do time to time. Keep your finger right there and go to Psalm 121 verse 4, please. Psalm 121 verse 4. "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." God does not slumber nor sleep. Can you imagine what could happen if God says, "Okay, I'm bushed. I'm going to take the time off for about a month. And I will do nothing." Think about it. He's the one who is holding all the universe, entire universe in order. If he doesn't hold that thing together, guess all the planets, the Milky Way is going to spin out of control like our national debt. And even our body will have a serious problem. Go to the Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. You might want to just take a look at here. This is the NIV version. Probably this explains it better than the, unless you have NIV. He is before, that is Jesus, before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the one who is holding together. What are you talking about, you may ask? Well, I'm glad you're asking. Because our atom, scientists don't know how the atoms stay together. So they came up with a real ingenious name, atom atomic glue. Since they don't know what it is God who is holding all to, everything together. If he doesn't hold us together, we'll be disintegrating. In some way, and someone will say, well, nay, God rest. If preacher, if you read the Bible, you might know that. Well, I'm glad you're thinking that thing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 says, God rests on seventh day. You remember that? That is not for him. Not because he's so tired, but he was making an example, modeling for us, for our own well-being. What Jesus said in verse 17 was not missed by the enemy of Jesus. The Israelite understood clearly. Israeli people traditionally called God our Father, never my Father. If you notice that when throughout the New Bible in the Gospel, Jesus never called Father in heaven as our Father. He always pronounced him as my Father. Again, some of you are thinking, you're wrong on that thing. I got you this time. Because Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, the Lord's Prayer, what does it say? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So it's starting with our Father. Well, guess what? You're wrong on that thing. Because Jesus is simply making a pattern for us to follow that prayer. So it was for us to know, to him is still my Father. You understand? Some of you may wonder, where in the world do you find a father and son relationship in the Old Testament? You don't doubt the Trinity, but you just want to know. Inquiring mind want to know, right? Go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Probably one of the most famous verses. Isaiah 9, 6. Which is often used for the Christmas. Let's pay attention to the noun he using here. Now, unto us, child is born, unto us, what? Son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Not Wonderful Counselor, Wonderful itself. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Does it give you enough distinction? It does to me. You see, Jesus not only claimed an equal relationship with God in verse 17 and 18, but also he claimed equality in works in verse 19 and 20. Like a man and his shadow. Like a man and his shadow. Here. Ta-da! See this, my shadow? This shadow is not identical with me. It's not me, but it's my shadow. It's distinct. But it's not independent. It dependent on me. If I go this way, my shadow goes that way. If I go like this, it goes that way. Just like that, Father and God the Father and God the Son are distinct from one another, yet they are dependent on each other. One more thing I want you to remember is that Jesus is fully submitting to God the Father by choice. Not because he, not by the coercion, and or the by an inferior nature. Go down to the verse 21. Now, this time, Jesus is claiming, second claim is the giver of life. please. Giver of life. For as the Father raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. To assert his equality, Jesus claimed to have the same power the Father does over the spiritually dead people. This was mentioned in the beginning of this book. So go to keep your finger there and go to the first chapter of the book of John. Okay, verse 3 of chapter 1. All things were made through him, that is Jesus. Without Jesus, him, nothing was made that was made. In him, that is Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, the many cult or the faith movement self-proclaimed heal miracle workers say that they can heal people's sickness, but none of them can prove that they raised that person from that death stage, with the exception of Jesus Christ. The third claim is the final judge in verse 22 in chapter 5. Back to John, chapter 5. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. You see, the many religious people say they believe in God. Amen. God the Father. But they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot know Father God and worship him and serve him. Again, go to the chapter 10 of the book of Acts. One book behind is John. Chapter 10, verse 42. Do you understand so far? 10:42 in the book of Acts. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. It's very clear that Jesus Christ is the final judge. Many people think that God the Father is the final judge in the great white throne judgment. It's not God the Father, it's Jesus Christ. To the Orthodox Jews, the Jehovah God is judge. He's the final judge of all the earth. Now go this time go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis 18, please. If you are the first comer of our church and you're wondering why you're going back and forth through the Bible, what's the whole point of this? We believe, as we said at the beginning, we believe this is the voice of God. Apart from this, we have nothing. This is the truth. We don't take this lightly. We take this very, very seriously. If it doesn't say, we don't do it. You with me? You all agree? And you're thinking, I'm not going to disagree you now. Maybe later. Chapter 18, verse 25. Far be from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be from you, and shall not judge of all the earth do right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Let me give you a quick background. Abraham and God, Jesus, at this time, Jesus Christ himself, it's a fancy word, Christophany, that means Jesus showing up and man's figure in the Old Testament, that's known as Christophany in his theological term. He's standing next to the Abraham, looking down the Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus already dispatched two angels to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that story, right? Before he destroyed them, Abraham is daring to negotiate with God. Have you ever done that before, negotiating with God? Oh, yeah, don't look at me like you've never done that before. If you do this, God, I'm going to do this for you. as if God is, oh, really? Anyway, Abraham started with 50. If there's 50 people, would you destroy entire Sodom? God said, no, for the sake of 50, I won't. Okay, God, how about this, 40? Do I have 30? Do I have 20? Do I have 10? He was thinking, yeah, 10 will do. And probably God said, don't push it anymore. I have a quarter to meet. See, some people didn't get it. Never mind. She finally got it. I explain to you later, honey. Oh, you got it. Did she tell me that was a flat? Cheryl, you and I are going to have a talk after the service. Okay. What Abraham trying to do is righteous judge will not destroy the wicked with the righteous. They acknowledge, entire Orthodox Jews acknowledge God is the final judge. And Jesus just claimed, I will be the judge. What does it mean? Jesus pretty much saying, I am it. I am your God. Hebrew people understood very clearly, without a doubt. Two examples of denying the deity of Jesus Christ, there are two famous examples, are the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons. And they said, one of them said that Jesus Christ is a brother of Michael the Archangel and Lucifer's brother. You know who the Lucifer was? Now he became a Satan. This is typical style of the cult. They always deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Why do you deny the deity of Jesus Christ? Because salvation comes through Jesus Christ. If they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, salvation, whatever we are trying to get, is useless. It's a moot point. You with me on that? That's why every single cult, every single religious people who said, Jesus is not the only way to get to heaven. They are denying the truth of the doctrine of salvation in the Bible. It's a serious charge, folks. You talk with anybody who said, well, there is more than one way to get to heaven. Really, show me in the Bible. Fourth claim that we find is that Jesus said he is the one giving eternal salvation. Verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from the death to into life. Not only does Jesus claim to be the final judge, but also he claimed to be the way out of eternal damnation. Jesus mentioned this in chapter 14 of the book of John. You know this verse. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me. Some people will say they don't agree with what the Bible says about Jesus being an exclusive way of salvation. At the same time, they said, well, I believe this Bible is true. Then we have a problem. Let's listen to their argument. They said, well, Jesus is not the only way, but this is true. Let's be logical. Let's be logical. Which one is it? Is this correct or what you're saying is wrong? If this is correct and this Bible says there's only one way to get to heaven, and you say, there's more than one way to get to heaven, one of them have to be wrong. You with me on that? You cannot have a both. This is not a multiple choice to please everybody. If this is the truth, when I disagree with it, do I get another truth? No. Whenever I disagree with the truth, I am wrong. Just be logical. When you think about the argument, what they're saying is a flat out contradicting one another. You cannot say that you have a different opinion than God and who is always correct. So either you are correct or God is correct, the Bible. Not all the road leads to the same God. Let me say one more time. Not all the roads lead to the same God. My God that mentioned in the Bible is not an Allah, no Buddha, no Hare Krishna, no some outer space alien has a glowing green skin, look like a Pastor Jack Laverty. it doesn't look like him. The Bible does not allow you to be in the neutral mode. Either you're for God, you're against God. And you're thinking, where do you see that? Well, I'm glad you're thinking that. Go to Luke chapter 11, please. Luke 11. Verse 23. You didn't think that I would say something that I cannot back it up with a Bible verse, do you? He who is now with me is against me. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, it is in red. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Is that clear enough for you? To me, it is. Either you're for God or you're what? Against God. There is no gray area. You cannot have one foot in God's side, another foot in the other side. The chasm is too big. People like Oprah Winfrey would say that Christianity has a narrow mind. Yes, we do. So does the truth. Listen, relative truth is made by the people who want to hide behind the lame excuses instead of facing the truth. Lame excuse. Fifth claim by Jesus is keeping resurrections. And I put in plural. I will explain to you why. Verse 25 in John chapter 5. 525. You know, I love this three young people sitting in the front row. And they're following along. Be nice to them. They're going to put you in the nursing home. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear a voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And has given him authority to execute the judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Where do you see that? Where else do you see that in the book of Daniel? That always represents Messiah. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth those who have done good. And to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil, to the resurrection of a condemnation. Here, Jesus gives some of the Bible's most clear definition of the resurrection here. Obviously, the phrase, like a dead will hear the voice, and all who are in the grave will hear the voice, are metaphorical in context. It means a spiritually dead person. Spiritually dead person will hear the voice and they will believe in Jesus Christ. How the spiritual dead sinner rise from the dead? By hearing God's word and believing in God's Son. By the way, verse 24, the everlasting life, means that they can never die spiritually again, nor can they come back into the judgment. To hear the God's word And believe means the salvation. And to reject his word means condemnation. You with me? To hear the word of God and believe that Jesus Christ, bless you, only Son of God, then that means a salvation. To reject is a condemnation. It does not matter how religious you are. It does not matter how often you go to church. It doesn't matter how often you baptize or take a communion. All that does not matter. One thing matters to him is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into your heart, and you become born-again Christian. Keep in this mind, the resurrection is not reconstruction, nor resuscitation. The resurrection body is not the same as our normal body. Our normal body cannot go through the things, but according to the Word of God, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, he went through the wall, he was standing in the midst of the disciples in a closed room. How did he come through? Without the door open, without window open. To him, wall is nothing. There is no limit. We will have the same kind of body. However, for those who reject the salvation through Jesus Christ, they will have either their kinds of resurrection, the resurrection of condemnation. Stop there and listen to me, please. There are three types of... Okay, let's try again. Three types of resurrections. First one is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the first one who resurrected from the dead. Second resurrection that we will see is the one who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be resurrected. When I say resurrected, then it's literally their body will come together and their soul is up in heaven first, but their body will meet the soul up in heaven. Third resurrection is that those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, they will be also resurrected. That's what I'm going to explain to you here. The resurrection of a condemnation, in other words, they will be resurrected to receive the eternal punishment in hell with all the pain, all the suffering, and complete isolation, especially away from God. You know, you heard this story before. People say, yeah, I'm going to go to hell, and I'm going to have a brewski with my buddies in hell, and we're going to have a serious party. Really? No, you're going to be all alone for eternity while you're in torment, in pain. Just read the Bible. It says clearly. There is no party. There is no Budweiser in hell. Take it seriously, folks. The last claim, sixth claim, is that doing the will of Father in verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. Jesus is still speaking. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Father who sent me. As a shadow never moves on its own initiative, so Jesus moves only in sync with God the Father. Oh, how we need to be more like Jesus, always doing the will of God. In your sermon outline note, I made its applications. After I finished, I was going over my note again. I realized it's not an application, but it's rather a conclusion. I'm going to summarize all six claims of Jesus Christ into the three categories. Number one, Jesus is equal with God the Father in relationship and his work and life-giving. Number two, Jesus is the final judge and gives salvation according to the individual's free will. He does not force that to anybody, but he gives the opportunity to the people one after another until the last breath they have. Number three, Jesus gives a resurrection and that's the will of the Father. I'm going to ask you to close your Bible and just listen. Close your eyes as well. I want you to pay attention. Don't move around. Don't fidget around. This is a very important time. You see, there are a lot of people who call themselves religious in America. And they think that they are going to go to heaven when they die. Where is that guarantee? Where is that assurance? Is it because you are a good person? Or is it because you've been in church a few times? Or you pray to God before? Not according to my Bible, that will help you. Unless you are born again, Jesus said to the Nicodemus, if there is anybody who was religious, he was the religious person. Nicodemus, he was a top religious person in Israel. He came to Jesus. And Jesus told him, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. That's not my word. That's a straight out from the Bible, straight out from the Son of God, God Himself, who will be the final judge, who will give you salvation and eternal life through resurrection. If you say no to Him, your heart will be hardened one extra time. Who knows, it might be the last time you say no to Him. I'm not threatening you. Like your parents would say, I'm just telling you the truth. The real truth. Whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So that God can help you. We heard the claims of Jesus Christ. 6 of them. Don't let it pass by you. Embrace Him. You don't have to do anything special. Just simply say, Jesus, come into my heart because I need you. That's all it takes. While your head's bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to do this one more time. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, now is the time. Today is the day, not tomorrow. So simply commit your life to Him. As your commitment to Jesus Christ, outward expression, I want you to raise your hand to let me know that so that you want to do that. Do it now. Raise your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Don't let your heart be hardened. Okay, including that young man. And everybody, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. My sin have separated me from you. But I turn away from my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. And rose from the dead. So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Please come into my heart. I am born again. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Stand up.